This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
December is supposed to be a time of connection and celebration, but for many people, the social side of work, Secret Santa, team lunches and holiday gatherings can bring up feelings of discomfort, isolation or even hurt. And when the workplace culture is already a bit strained, this season can really highlight the cracks. To help us make sense of it all, I'm joined by careers coach Angela Burke. And Angela specialises in workplace dynamics, confidence building as well, and helping people find clarity in their professional lives, especially when things get messy or emotionally challenging at work. Angela, welcome back to iRadio's group chat. First of all, how can somebody recognise the early warning signs of a toxic workplace before the situation begins to impact their mental health?
I think you can tune into like how we feel is a huge indicator as to what's going on. So I think warning signs can tap into how we're feeling and also what's actually happening. So what I mean by what we're feeling, like if your body is tightening at the thought of work, like if you're getting Sunday dread, disrupted sleep, or just that horrible feeling of on edge, your body is responding to that kind of unsafety, the feeling of unsafety. Things that we can watch out for, so inconsistent communication, like if leaders are giving mixed messages or if there's constantly last minute changes or avoiding transparency, you know, not kind of sweeping things under the carpet and not actually addressing what needs to be addressed. A lack of psychological safety. Some people will be familiar with that term, others won't. But, you know, noticing, if you're noticing that people aren't asking questions, they're not really challenging decisions, or they're kind of afraid to share their ideas, that means there's a lack of psychological safety in the environment. Blame culture. I mean, there's nothing worse than working in a culture where you're just afraid of being blamed. So that's a very early warning sign. Like if mistakes are kind of quietly punished, or, you know, if they kind of feed into gossip and just, you know, what a sense of walking on eggshells, that kind of feeling where, you know, you might feel like you're kind of, you're having to monitor your tone, or you're starting to get into the kind of overthinking of emails and how you're going to respond to something, or even, you know, if you feel like you're starting to monitor or like predict someone's mood, they are all signs that you might be in a toxic workplace.
Walking on eggshells, I think, is a phrase that encapsulates all of that, as you said, but it, from everything you've described, it is far more in depth than that. There's so many factors that can lead you to feeling a bit like you're walking on eggshells. But what about exclusion or cliques that are forming in the office? What effect can they have? And also, what are some subtle behaviours that people often overlook that are actually red flags?
Yeah, the effect, first of all, I hate exclusion. I hate hearing of people being excluded. I think it just brings you back to that horrible experience in school where, you know, you were out of a group or just kind of left out, or I think we all remember that feeling. And the effect it can have, Valerie, is, well, people will start to get disengaged. You know, their confidence will reduce, and ultimately people will leave once they kind of sort their life out outside, you know, with the circumstances to enable them to leave, they will leave. Red flag. So, you know, I suppose, you know, inside conversations or that kind of recurring, like, oh, you had to be there. You know, that's definitely clicky. Maybe meetings happening informally. This is something organizations have to be mindful of, you know, making sure that, you know, if decisions are being made, you know, at someone's desk informally without kind of checking in with the group to make sure there's consensus. Information gatekeeping. I think we've all been in a situation where someone forgets to pass on knowledge, you know, or pass on an update or resource. selective forgetting. Or do you know the kind of that kind of fake passive aggressive kind of politeness? You know, oh, I didn't think you'd want to come, or yeah, I think all of those scenarios are when exclusion is kind of happening or cliques are starting to form, and they're the kind of red flags to be looking out for with regard to that.
A listener has actually been in touch, right, with a dilemma. They do want to remain anonymous, but they've said, my colleagues have started a secret Santa in work. No one has asked me to be in it. They openly talk about it and are even planning a lunch before we finish up for Christmas to exchange gifts. I'm not sure if I'm the only one left out, but judging by how many people are chatting about it, it feels that way. I love the job itself, but it's not nice feeling excluded by co-workers. I've been feeling really down about it and I'm not sure what to do. What advice would you give them, Angela? That is a rotten situation. I actually feel a bit sick reading that. That's so sad. I hate
things. Yeah, that's horrible.
I hate things like that. Like, I just don't, like, I can't stand exclusion.
Yeah, same. I think what I'm going to jump into first of all is
it is a female listener, yeah.
I thought you said that, yeah. So they said that they're not sure if they're the only one excluded. So that's the first thing I would say is, I think let's get our facts right in terms of how they could figure that out. Do you know what? I'm a big fan of just addressing the elephant in the room or saying things as it is. So, and I know that can be difficult when you're battling the feeling of, have I actually been left out here? So I would say something like, maybe there's one colleague that she trusts and she has kind of a bit of a relationship with, and maybe she could just say something like, oh, hey, you know, I heard some people talking about a secret Santa. Is that, is it open to everyone or is it like just a particular group? I wasn't sure how it's been organized. And then just kind of wait, stop talking, because we have a habit of just kind of going into like rambling. Just let the person react and their reaction will tell you a lot. So if they get a little bit uncomfortable, that's telling you that maybe it is, you know, a kind of private thing that's been arranged. Or, you know what, they could respond and say, oh yeah, everyone's included, sorry you weren't around that day, let me check where that's at, or, you know, ask Sarah, etc. So I think first of all, just suss it out with someone you can trust to see, one, factually, is everyone included, and two, kind of keep an eye on their reaction. And you know what? Benefit of the doubt, I would give people a chance to correct it. I think we all can, you know, we all have a feeling in mind of a memory in mind of being excluded, and we can kind of jump the gun a little bit. So, you know, maybe just check if it's an oversight. Most decent people will, you know, correct it. If it turns out that she was, you know, intentionally excluded, then that's more about, that's the culture, isn't it? Like, if that's allowed, then that tells you a lot about the culture. I think remembering that in these situations, like, that doesn't reflect her worth. It actually reflects their emotional maturity, the fact that they're doing that in the workplace. So I would say to her to kind of, you know, protect her confidence. So, like, anchor herself in the fact that, look, she enjoys the job. She knows she's good at it. Their behavior says nothing about her. And take some time to, you know, decide what she wants and what she needs going forward. So it could be a case that that particular team has a lot of toxic behavior. Maybe she could identify the couple of people. You really only need a couple of people that you can trust. So maybe it's about strengthening the relationships in the team with the people she can trust. And then looking at outside of the team, could she get her kind of social side of work outside of the team? But also not being afraid, you know what, Valerie, not being afraid to kind of set some boundaries. I think we can go into our childhood self when these kind of things happen. And you have to remember, okay, I'm actually an adult now. I'm not 10 where this situation at school was happening. And just think, okay, how do I actually want to react here? And maybe it's a case of setting some boundaries. So personally, I wouldn't be bothered about trying to get into the Secret Santa. I hate them, so I would let that slide. But going forward, it could be a case of just setting some boundaries. So just being mindful of how she's been spoken to, you know, if she has been excluded, or if they say things like, oh, you know, oh, it's an inside joke or whatever, not being afraid to kind of pull it up politely, you know.
When is it appropriate to escalate exclusion or toxic behaviour, you know, to the likes of a manager or HR? And, like, what should you say in a situation like that? So I'm not even just this particular listener, but if you are experiencing something along those lines in work, like, when is the time to escalate it further?
If it's recurring, so if it's not a once-off, if it's a recurring situation where you have a few solid examples, I would be getting your receipts in order. jotting down the dates, the examples, who's involved, the patterns. So to kind of veer away from, I would say, veer away from your feelings and focus on the facts. So focus on, you know, the different situations that happened, you know, prepare a little bit about how the behavior actually impacts your work, and be clear on what you're asking for. Because I think a lot of the time when these kind of situations arise, I see employees not being clear on what they're asking for. Do you know what I mean? So are you asking for the manager to address it? Are you asking for mediation? Do you want, you know, mediation in terms of like, would you maybe like a meeting set up between you and, you know, the toxic person or toxic group where you can kind of hash it out? Do you maybe want the manager to put in place some team building or kind of support, maybe some education that can, you know, subtly educate everyone on how to act in a team? And then I would also say, just to go back to when to escalate it, like if it's affecting your mental health, like I did say, if it's affecting your ability to do the job, but if it's affecting your mental health, don't sit with that kind of thing. I think it's important, and if you love your job and if you want to stay there, to try and, you know, get the support of your manager. But also I would have people where, you know, they don't love their job and this is happening. And if that's the case, then I don't know if it's worth your while. You know, if you don't love the job and if the environment is toxic, then maybe it's about kind of planning your exit that suits you.
Before I let you go, I want to just dip into the whole concept of work Christmas parties. I mean, we are into the social side of December now. It is, of course, December 1st, all of those things. If they haven't already happened, the Christmas parties, they are already being planned. And I know that they're, you know, for people who perhaps don't drink alcohol or perhaps aren't comfortable in big group settings, this can be a really challenging time of year. Even if you do love your colleagues and you love your job, sometimes you don't necessarily want to be a part of all of that though. And I've been asking the listeners this evening, should workplaces be ditching those drinks at the Christmas parties and the alcohol based events, and, you know, maybe perhaps creating something that is a bit more inclusionary for people? What would your views on all of that be?
Interesting. I'm really intrigued as to what the listeners are saying. I think there's no need to ditch it in terms of we're all adults here, right? But I think I really do get your point around some people don't drink alcohol. They don't want to be in a pub. And also, you know, as the night goes on, it gets uncomfortable, right? I think the best way to approach this is having a couple of options. So if employers had a kind of lunch during the day, maybe, that everyone could go to, and then, you know, drinks in the evening, and it's a kind of opt in, opt out. So if I don't want to go to the alcohol related event, at least I know I can, you know, do something during the day with my colleagues, whether it's a lunch or maybe it's, you know, something around like fitness or a team building activity. And that way I don't feel like I'm being left out of the celebrations altogether. But I, you know, I don't actually have to sit there and go to the evening event. I remember on a team I worked on before, we were talking about, you know, inclusion and how we can make the team more inclusive. And one lady piped up and she said, you know, for me, she was like, inclusion is being comfortable to say, I don't want to go to that event, and for that to be okay. And I thought that is actually a very valid point. So yeah, I think managers and teams can just make sure that it's not a like everyone has to go, that there's more options than one, and that people feel comfortable kind of going to which one, you know, works best for them.
Well, I appreciate that advice, Angela. And I think that you definitely should listen in to some of what the listeners have been saying on that, because it has been really, really fascinating to hear every side of the argument on all of that. So thank you for laying an expert opinion with us on iRadio's group chat. And I am sure that we will catch up with you again, Angela Burke, careers coach on iRadio.
Chat soon.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.